Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
In the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, the prophet makes a statement that many people who belong to Jesus Christ have found to be a great source of comfort, a great source of encouragement to them over the years. Where the prophet Isaiah says that those who lean upon the Lord, those who lean hard upon His strength, who rely on Him as they face difficulties and disappointment and disaster in this troubled world, those people can still live in perfect peace as they trust in Him to take them through all of those things. And as they live with the expectation and with the hope, with the confidence of an eternity in His presence forever. No wonder that verse provides so many people with hope and with comfort. And the bottom line in all of this is that for those of us who belong to Jesus Christ, there is nothing to fear. But for those who don't belong to Him, there is everything to fear. And only Christ can give us that perfect peace in the midst of hardship and in the midst of persecution. A story that has been unfolding before us as we have looked at the book of Acts, as we have read how, after our Lord had risen from the dead, after He had ascended from this earth to the glory of heaven, the gospel was being preached by His followers in the city of Jerusalem, and thousands from the nation of Israel came to Christ for salvation. But severe persecution by some unbelieving Jews in the city scattered many of those believers onto the coastal plain of Phoenicia and into the island of Cyprus, and even as far north as the metropolis of Syrian Antioch, a wicked city of moral filth and of idolatry. And the followers of Jesus who settled in that city began bringing the message of Christ to the people who lived there. But they not only brought that message to the Jews, they brought that message to the Gentiles who lived there. And we are told that the hand of the Lord was with them, that the Lord was blessing them. His blessing was upon them. And so we are told large numbers of Gentiles believed the message of salvation and turned from their false religion. They turned from their sin and they turned to Christ. And when the church in Jerusalem heard about this, they sent a man from among them, a man that they could trust, a man named Barnabas. And when Barnabas arrived in Antioch, and he saw for himself how the Lord had opened the eyes of the Gentiles to the truth, he rejoiced. And we're told he encouraged them to continue on in the faith. But so many people were coming to Christ so many that Barnabas knew that he needed help if he was to disciple them, if he was to ground them in the truth. So he left Antioch and he traveled northwest into the region of Cilicia to look for his good friend Saul, who would later be known as the Apostle Paul. And together, they spent a considerable amount of time shepherding the flock of God in the city of Antioch. And the church began to grow. And as it began to grow and to mature, the Lord directed them to send Paul and Barnabas out from among them in order to bring the message of salvation to those who had not heard that message. And so, Paul and Barnabas went to the island of Cyprus, the home of Barnabas, and then they went to the region of Galatia. And we're told that many Jews, many Gentiles came to Christ. And when Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch after their mission was completed, we are told there was great rejoicing among the church because of all that God had done through them in opening the door of faith to the Gentiles. But it says in Acts chapter 15 that when the word of these things reached the church in Jerusalem, not everybody there was rejoicing. So we're told some men came from the church in Jerusalem. They came to Antioch and they claimed that unless those Gentile believers were circumcised, unless they followed the customs of Moses, the ceremonial law, unless they did that, they could not be saved. That was a rather unsettling development for those Gentiles there. Perhaps they began to question their own salvation. After all, these were men, religious men, who came all the way from Jerusalem. So perhaps there was fear. Perhaps there was confusion. So, we're told, the leaders in the church in Antioch wisely decided to send a delegation to Jerusalem, including Paul and Barnabas, to receive an answer concerning these things. While the church in Antioch waited, they waited in expectation. They waited in hope, perhaps with some fear, perhaps with some concern. Perhaps they had not gotten the whole truth. So, when this delegation arrived in Jerusalem, after there was much debate, after there was much discussion, the leaders in the church in Jerusalem arrived at a decision. There was agreement among them. There was unity in the church. Then, it says in verse 22 of Acts chapter 15, it seemed good to the apostles and to the elders along with the whole church to set the minds of the brothers and sisters in Christ in the church in Antioch at rest. There was a concern for them. They were brothers and sisters in Christ. And so they decided, for the sake of love, for the sake of unity, for the sake of fellowship, for the sake of clarity, to strengthen this bond between them all. They thought that it would be wise to choose men from among them and to send them to Antioch along with Paul and Barnabas in order to confirm, to reinforce the decision that had been made in the church in Jerusalem, sending them along with a letter to explain what had taken place in that meeting in Jerusalem. And so we're told they chose a man named Judas, who was also called Barsabbas, and they chose a man named Silas, who was also called Silvanus. Now, these two men, we're told, were leading men from among the brethren. Hegeomai in Greek. They were leaders in the church. They were men of authority. They were men of integrity. They were well-respected shepherds of the flock. And so they sent this letter by them in their care, saying this in verse 23. The apostles and the brethren who are elders, write this letter to you, to the brethren, to our brothers and sisters in Christ in Antioch, and to those throughout the Roman provinces of Syria and Cilicia, to those who are believers from among the Gentiles. Greetings. Hieron in Greek. We encourage you to rejoice. We encourage you to be glad. There is nothing to fear. Though you may be troubled in your spirit right now, since we have heard that some from our number within the church in Jerusalem, to whom we gave no instruction to come to you, we gave them no instruction to represent us. They have acted on their own. They have acted without our knowledge. And so it has come to our attention that they have disturbed you. Tarasso in Greek. They have agitated you, causing your hearts to race within you with fear, with doubt, robbing you of the peace and of the joy that you have in Christ Jesus, assaulting you with their words, with their opinions, unsettling your souls, anaskouazo in Greek, ravaging your mind and your spirit. False teaching is like a storm. It leaves destruction and it leaves heartache in its path. Lives are affected and sometimes lives are destroyed by false teaching. And the leaders in the church in Jerusalem knew that. And so in verse 25, they said, it seemed good to us. It has become evident, having become of one mind, homothumadon in Greek, being in one accord with one goal, one passion, one desire, one perspective. We are united in this, that we do not want to cause you any more pain or any more anguish so that you stumble in your walk with Christ. And this is so important to us. It is so critical that we thought that it would be best to select men to send to you, men who are highly regarded in their walk with the Lord, examples to the flock of God. So we have sent them along with our beloved, with our dear brothers, Barnabas and Paul, who are themselves two men who have risked their lives, paradidomi. They have surrendered themselves to the will of God, giving up their comfort, giving up their safety, even giving up their friends and their family for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, along with them, we have also sent Judas and Silas, trustworthy men, men who will also report and proclaim and testify to these same things by word of mouth. So listen to them. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit, it says in verse 28, and to us, for he has led us. The Spirit of God has led us. He has given us direction in these things, and with his guidance, as we have yielded to him, now we are determined to lay no greater burden, baros, no excessive weight, no heaviness that you would be unable to bear. We have determined not to lay these things upon you. As Jesus himself indicated in Matthew chapter 11. If you recall, before we came to Christ, our lives were weighted down. Our lives were weighted down by our sin. There was no rest for our soul. There was no peace in our heart because there was no forgiveness for our sin. But no matter who we are, no matter where we are, no matter what we have done, when we come to Christ, when we really come to Christ and lay these things at his feet, he lifts that burden off of our shoulders. And he places it upon himself. So now we can find peace with God. We can find rest for our soul. So as we submit ourselves to him, in obedience to his word, we will find that whatever he asks of us is for our good and for the good of those around us. So, with his help, with his guidance, his burden is a burden that we are able to bear. So in verse 28, the leaders of the church in Jerusalem ask the Gentile believers to bear nothing other than these essentials, epanages in Greek. Things that are necessary. Things that are not necessary for salvation, but things that are necessary for fellowship. Things that are necessary for peace. Things that are necessary for a testimony for Christ within the church and outside of the church. That these Gentile believers might act in love and with patience toward those who are around them. That you, it says in verse 29, might abstain, apeko in Greek, keep away from meat in the marketplace that has been sacrificed to idols, knowing that there are some among you who are still weak in the faith, and they will be affected by these things. Be sensitive to those around you, and avoid your former religious practices of drinking blood and of eating meat from animals that have been strangled. These things are no longer part of who you are. They are a stumbling block to some. And why? Why would you want to cause the one for whom Christ has died to save to stumble and to fall? And so the letter continues. Do not use your freedom. Do not use your freedom in Christ as a license to sin. Flee fornication. Flee, run away from immorality of any kind. And so the letter concludes, if you keep yourself free from these things, dia tereo, if you carefully guard yourselves, if you guard your mind, if you guard your thoughts, if you guard your actions, if you guard your motives, it says, you will do well. You will honor the Lord. Farewell, he says. Ronmi in Greek. Be strong. Be well in the grace of Christ Jesus, and your soul will prosper. So, we're told in verse 30, that when Paul and Barnabas and Judas and Silas were sent away from the church in Jerusalem with this letter in their hand, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation, the whole assembly of believers into one place, they delivered that letter to the leaders. And when they had read it to the church, the Gentile believers greatly rejoiced, we're told. They raised their voices in joy, in gladness, in thanksgiving because of its encouragement. And Judas and Silas, also being prophets, themselves were speaking for the Lord. And they encouraged and comforted and strengthened the believers there. They made them more firmly established in the faith. And they did this, we're told, with a lengthy message, with many words of encouragement, that salvation, true salvation, is by the grace of God, the grace that saves us, the grace in which we stand. It is alone by faith that we are saved, faith in Christ. And after they had spent time there, it says, they were sent away by the brethren in peace, with blessing, and with appreciation. And they were sent back to those in Jerusalem who had sent them out. And verse 34 is not found in the early manuscripts of this letter. So jumping down to verse 35, it says, that though Judas and Silas returned to Jerusalem to bring word of all that had taken place in the church in Antioch, Paul and Barnabas stayed there, teaching, instructing the believers, preaching, bringing the good news of salvation along with many others also, proclaiming with boldness and with thanksgiving and with joy the word of the Lord. By the grace of God, the enemy had failed to divide the church. By his grace, he had failed to pollute and to corrupt the pure and the simple message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, for us, there is nothing to fear. Christ will continue to build his church, and he will safely bring us home to be with him forever. Forever he is faithful. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.